Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Ask Kathleen. I'm your host, Jerome Esprit. I'm, you know, guest hosting today on Ask Kathleen, the program where you can call in, ask anything you want, talk a little noise, you know. And hopefully my co-host will be joining me soon, and we'll see what today brings. But we on this program, we're going to just cover news, things that's going on in the world, and hey, you can hit us up in chat. You can call in. Area code 909-265. Wait a minute. I just thought about something. I lost the number. Area code 909-265-9189. There you go. Just came back to me. 909-265-9189. You can call in. We're going to start off the show by covering some news that we covered on Esprinet News this week. And, you know, we'll take it from there. All right, so hang out, relax, hit us up in chat. You can listen to and hang out if you like. All right, so, you know, this week, as I look at our news programs, well, first of all, I just have to give, like, just some regular birthday shout-outs to some folks. All right, you know, my little cousin Kristen Houston. Hey, Chris, happy birthday. I don't know if he's listening to it, but his mom might be. And, you know, it was Whitney Houston's birthday. I know that passed this month. So, you know, while I'm at it, wanted to make sure I put that on. Since we won't be playing any Whitney Houston music today, I don't have any. But so just wanted to make sure I put that in there. Now, this week in news, although we have big political news, we'll save that stuff for later. But this week, our first story, the U.S. weather officials have slightly increased their predictions for 2012 Atlantic hurricane season. As many as 17 storms are expected this year. Now, forecasters estimate 12 to 17 tropical storms with 5 to 8 reaching hurricane strength. So now, in May, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, predicted 9 to 15 storms, 4 to 8 becoming hurricanes is what they're saying. And the Atlantic Basin has seen 6 named storms so far this year. I can't name any of them, and I didn't pull them. So, but we have seen 6. Now, last month, the average temperature was 77.6 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, that's hotter than the old record from July, which was in 1936. Now, during that period, a severe drought known in the U.S. as the Dust Bowl happened in 1936, just in case you were wondering. The last 12 months were the warmest since modern records began in 1895. Man, global warming, huh? Now, it is also more than 3 degrees Fahrenheit warmer than the average temperature in July during the 20th century. Now, President Barack Obama has called on Congress to pass a farm bill that would provide assistance to livestock farmers who require disaster assistance, because currently they have no access to, you know, less insurance than just regular crop farmers. So I didn't know livestock farmers didn't have insurance like crop farmers. It seems kind of weird. Anyway, so just wanted to start off our news segment with some weather stories, because I know it is blazing here. I don't know what it's doing there, but it is blazing here. Now, the U.S. trade deficit narrowed in June as a steep drop in oil prices helped to ease the country's export bill, while it helped ease the country's import bill, while exports increased slightly. See, that's how you justify the trade gap. Shrink your imports, expand your exports. All right. Now, the trade gap shrank 11% to $42.9 billion in June. That's from $48 billion in May, and according to the Commerce Department. Now, the average price the U.S. paid for importing crude oil saw its biggest monthly drop in 3.5 years during June as global demand fell. Now, U.S. exports also increased, particularly in Europe and Japan. Now, the deficit was the smallest since December of 2010. Overall, imports fell 1.5% to $228 billion. It's the lowest in 4 months. Now, so for those people who are telling you the economy isn't getting better, I guess they're wrong. Now, President Barack Obama also this past week signed the Honoring America's Veterans and Caring for Cap Lejeune Families Act. That is a long name. Family Act for 2012 into law last week, providing a wide range package of benefits to military personnel and enacting new restrictions on protest of services for service members' families or service members' funerals. Now, he said that we have a moral, sacred duty to our men and women in uniform, is what the president said before signing the bill. The graves of our veterans are hallowed grounds, and the new law will have strong implications for that Westboro Baptist Church, that Kansas-based organization, which the Southern Poverty Law Center and the Anti-Defamation League have labeled a hate group. Under this new legislation, protests must be held at least 300 feet from military funerals and are prohibited 2 hours before or after the service. So, this stops all of the military funeral protests, which seems kind of silly. Now, if you've been doing what I've been doing, that's watching days upon days of Olympic coverage, you would have saw the Olympic gold medal team win, gold today. The men won today and the women won yesterday. And, just for the record, for all the LeBron haters out there, he played a great game, just like all of the other athletes. Durant played a great game. Even Kobe played a great game. So I can't hate on in the sports world on those guys. So I just wanted to make sure I threw that out there. Yep, been watching the Olympics, saw what was going on, and have to say, you can compare them to Dream Team if you want to. They broke a lot of records, and they are phenomenal. So, you know what? Every now and then they dial it back, so they didn't blow this team out, but they still did win. All right? Now, thought I'd share that. Again, you're listening to Ask Kathleen. I'm guest hosting Jerome Esprit, political strategist. You can check me out on soulofsyracuse.com, where I'm the publisher. Read some articles, check out some news stories, and, ask any questions. You can call in and ask Kathleen as well. Area code 909-265-9189. Now, let's go to our first caller on the line. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Ask Kathleen.
It's Ronnie.
See, the problem is on the board, I just saw the thing go up, and so I just hit the button. So I don't know anybody's number. That's usually Kathleen's job. Unless you're calling me from a different number.
Let me not interrupt. Let me just call in, but I usually call in on the landline.
Uh-huh.
So I don't have to sit tethered to, in case my cell phone runs out of juice. I mobile on, so I just call in a landline.
Oh no! See,
how are you?
I'm well. How are you? And you know, I would have had your theme music ready if I would have knew that was you. So you know, I just wanted to tell you.
I should have let you know that I was calling, but I said, "Oh, I'll just go on in and surprise him," because I wanted to hear what you were saying about the Olympics. Everybody has been face forward. It's been so awesome.
You know, and we talked about the Gabby Douglas story as far as women's gymnastics and stuff is concerned, right?
No.
We didn't? Oh, okay.
No.
I thought we did on the last show or the show before that or something. No. Okay. So on the women's gymnastics, you know, Gabby Douglas, 16-year-old from, where's the Gabby Douglas from? I know she moved to Iowa.
Virginia, South Virginia. Virginia Beach.
Yes, Virginia Beach. Went to Iowa to train. From the day that she qualified during the Olympic trials, she really got no press at all, right? So she was surprised. But, you know, they picked the Olympic team. But when you come in first at the Olympic trials, you automatically make the team, which I keep saying she probably wouldn't have made the team if they had to pick her, for one. So she won the Olympic trials. She goes to the Olympics. She outperforms everybody on the team to win the team gold. But her numbers were higher than pretty much everybody else's. And the team, a U.S. Olympic team, wins a gold for women gymnastics.
Right.
Then she goes ahead and wins the individual gold for all around.
Which was awesome.
Which was also awesome. And with that being said, it just seems like NBC really just did not want to cover her.
I was so disappointed.
Isn't that strange?
It was so strange. And speaking about the men's basketball team,
mm-hmm.
Now I've seen 47,000 clips of the women in their volleyball.
Uh-huh.
I've seen 40 million clips of the swimmers.
Okay.
And interviews, but have I seen the men's basketball team in an interview? No. No, I could have missed it.
Yeah.
You know, I could have missed it.
Now, okay, I didn't see any of the volleyball. But I watched the volleyball games, though. I was mad because they chopped that one up because the U.S. didn't win the gold. But for some reason, women's volleyball, I think it's the bomb sport. I don't know why I've always liked volleyball. And the funny thing about volleyball, not because some of the women were pretty and stuff too, that probably helps. But here's the thing. here's the thing about volleyball. It's funny that on the women's side, of course, there's a lot of people of color on the volleyball team. There is none on the men's team. Do you know black people
not
don't
one
play volleyball?
Not one. But
now,
on the girls, on the women's indoor volleyball team, there are a number of, you know, women of color, but not on the out in the beach.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't really watch the beach volleyball. They were getting all the news coverage.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, but you said volleyball, so I was assuming the indoor.
I'm sorry. I meant
beach volleyball. No,
yes.
but on the team volleyball stuff. Now I watched that. Those guys got no coverage.
I watched that too. But there's no African American or any other ethnicities on the American outdoor beach volleyball teams or the male. Now, you know, I'm just saying, there's not too many brothers are going to play volleyball.
You know, okay.
I'm just
going to concede to that. Probably
but
not.
I love the men's volleyball. I watched every single match. They were awesome. The beach volleyball and the indoor, they weren't as talented, but the beach volleyball team, they were phenomenal.
Okay, you know what? I don't know what this says about us, but I only watch the women. But that's just my thing. I don't know what to tell you. I don't watch the men's volleyball.
Okay.
You watch the men's game, but I said I watch the women's. But,
and I watch the women's game, too.
Okay,
I watch the women's game.
You
could
help me out. Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you this.
Uh-huh.
I saw maybe one interview with LeBron when they first got to Japan and they were going to play. And I saw maybe, I guess it was a qualifying game, I'm not sure. And I saw one interview with Carmelo Anthony. I saw a picture of Carmelo Anthony with the Dream gymnastic team, the female, you know, with Gabby and the other girls.
Yeah.
That was it. I never saw any other interviews. Now, I don't know. Maybe I just missed it because, you know, I tried to watch as much as I could, but I just could have missed it. But it seems that every time I turn on the channel, there are the swimmers, you know.
Yeah.
Turn on Good Morning America. There are the swimmers. Now, Gabby did get press on the Good Morning shows. I
well,
did see her.
You know what? But that is a super story. Like, she had to go above and beyond sensational. No American, let alone anybody black, any African American, no American has ever won in gymnastics, the team and an individual. That's never happened.
Ever.
So get
happened.
No ever. So,
but you know, in her honor. That young lady, as long as they don't, I always say they, because you know I'm a conspiracy theorist. As long as nothing manic or insane happens to her, and I say they, because a lot of people I just feel like get, I don't know, some kind of attack happens to some people.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as that her mom is able to keep her out of the way of, you know, dancing at a strip club or some kind of crazy.
Don't do that, right? No. See, I'm going to have to stop because I do this to Kathleen all the time, so she needs to know that I'm still here. See, here's the thing. You can't say negative and take it back. So don't wish anything negative on that little girl.
I don't wish anything negative on the little girl, but that's what they said.
I heard the man
say it.
What?
I heard the man, you know, when they asked the analyst what her potential, what her outcome, what her life is going to be,
right,
and this is what they come up with.
Right, but did they do that to little Misty May, whatever her
name
is, in beach volleyball? Right, and so since they don't say, well, we don't hope Misty May is sleeping up under a bridge a couple years late, like they don't say that to them. And that is really unfortunate that even in our moments of joy, people think negative about and defend not doing something else.
I'm going to take that back because I shouldn't have even repeated it, so I'll take it back.
Right.
But thank goodness she's going to be I am going to be in line the day that the cereal boxes come out.
Uh-huh.
I'm already stalking the stores because they're not going to put them out and I don't see it, you know. So I'm going to every store that I can go to.
Right.
Make sure I get my cereal boxes. And she's got a future that's so bright and blinding, she's going to have to wear those goggles that welders wear. You ever see
there
a welder?
Because
she's going to be so wealthy. They said her potential is up in the 100 million for having won those two gold medals.
Now, you know, her earning potential has got to be great. I mean, she's only 16. She's still in high school. And
right.
I have a story here that Spelman's president wanted to add, you know, Gabby to their student body in Atlanta, Spelman University. And their website says that Douglas was their number one recruit. So Spelman's president, Beverly Daniel Tatum, traveled to London to ensure that the Olympic star received a Spelman gift bag and congratulatory note just to get her to go to Spelman.
Is that fantastic?
That's great. I know people are going to hate, but let them hate. But you know what? She's going to get a lot of gymnastics scholarships offered for college. I mean, so she's going to get offered Stanford and all those other guys. So just wanted to say it was good to know that they actually put their foot forward and said, you know what? We want you to come here.
Did you see her perform?
No. Oh, her medal stuff, yeah.
Wow.
I actually watched her, I watched her in the team, and I watched the individual, and I watched her all around, and I did see one of the individuals. Now, that's where the haters kicked in. After she got her two gold medals, she participated in the individual gymnastics competition, and she didn't medal. So, you know, there's that German word again, Schadenfreude. It's the joy and the misery of others. Some people were actually happy to say, well, at least, you know, her flame blew out and all this other stuff. She has 2 gold medals, people.
People.
But, yeah.
She didn't even have to worry about those other months. She got the ones that count.
Exactly. She was just kind of doing her own thing. She's like, okay, I can do this or not. Why don't she should have subbed somebody else in. Like, nah, you know, I'm
And
good.
Not only that, you know what else I thought was I was so happy about? That she was not the favorite. Not only was
she was not even favored.
The girl that was favored never even qualified.
Now, here's the thing. You can go to NBC's website now, NBCOlympics.com or something, and they have pictures of the other gymnasts, like, who were favored and their profiles. She's not up there. So I'm glad she won. I just wanted to share that part
of
it.
Yeah, I'm so happy that she won. Mm-hmm. Now, okay, she was great, but I got to move on when you're ready. You just let me know, because
I know
you have some other things you want to say about.
About my Olympic news, I just want to say that. You're listening to Ask Kathleen, you know, Jerome, co-host Ronnie, the regular co-host. I'm just guest hosting today. I'm usually a guest. So you can dial in and join us on the program. I see folks on the line. But, you know, if you want to join in, feel free anytime. Hit 1. We'll bring you in. Area code 909-265-9189. I always get the number wrong. Don't tell Kathleen. Now, here's the thing. In Olympic news, the next one I want to bring up is Venus and Serena. They made Olympic fit history as they became the first pair to win women's doubles 3 times. Now, the sisters won their first doubles in Sydney in 2000, then Beijing 2008, and after missing Athens because Serena was injured, they came back and won their third. Now, Serena, who's, I'm not going to say her age, Serena's 30, she became the third female tennis player to win a pair of gold medals at the same Olympics. Now, so she won hers for the singles, women's, and the doubles, not the mixed doubles, but just the doubles. And guess who the other two, well, there's only 3 that's ever done it in U.S. history. Serena's one. Who would you think the other one was?
Althea?
Venus in 2000. Now, and the next person was Helen Wills Moody in 1924.
Never heard of her.
Exactly, but I just want to say
that's
Venus
amazing.
And Serena,
they're
both
everything.
Of them done exactly. How can you have 3 in American history and 2 of them are sisters? But anyway, and so Venus also says she believes that they can go on the record, go on for the record 4th victory in the Rio Games in 2016. She says we're definitely planning on Rio. We're going to go out with a bang. And hopefully we'll make it 4. You never know. So she is hopeful that she'll be able to participate in the Rio Games.
They are everything. They are they're American treasures.
Yeah. You know what?
Right.
I was just saying, as much as everybody wants to hate on those ladies as well, they are just putting them down in the record books. So we got to give it up for Venus and Serena.
And they set the tennis bar.
Oh, yeah. You know, they changed the rules when they win. It's kind of like Tiger Woods. When Tiger Woods first started winning, people complain, you know, and saying that he hasn't lived up to how he used to be. But if you remember, they literally changed a lot of the golf courses after Tiger. He was beating them so bad, they started actually redesigning golf courses.
Mm-hmm. He's everything,
now,
too.
That is
and
hate.
So he's not as good as he used to be, but... better be glad he's not. They really need to be.
he's young. He's very young.
He's young.
And,
he'll be back.
And in golf sense, he's got another, 25 years of golf? Are you kidding? These guys are.
At least.
You know, well, think about it this way. You look at Jack Nicholson and Peyton Weber and all those guys. You know, they were in their 60s, 64, 68.
Right.
Like, they were golfing. Tiger got a long time, so don't even worry about
it. Let him, get home, get healed, and go all the drama that he had and whatever.
He is way too young. Now,
and he's played a game. He's played a game that they may never catch up with in this century.
Oh right. Oh, they're not. But you know, he's gonna keep it moving. But in our Olympic news segment, Allyson Felix won.
That's
her
where
individual.
I was heading next. That's why I said when you get ready, I'm ready to go.
Oh, there,
Allyson
you're right
Felix
okay.
And my girl. What's her name?
I don't know.
Her Ross.
Oh, yes. I forgot her name. Richardson Ross. I can't remember
right.
her name.
I can only
yes.
remember the last names. Richardson Ross and Allyson Felix. Did you see the relay last night?
Yes. And I was going to say, she won her. Allyson Felix wins her individual gold medal. And then that was in the 200 meters. And then she goes back and gets a couple in relays. So does she have three gold medals?
I think she got three gold medals because last night they set the track ablaze.
Right.
They set that track on fire. They didn't give anybody a chance. I didn't even see anybody else in the race. I didn't even know who they were running against.
they didn't really make it, but I watched that race and I was really happy for those guys. And speaking of Olympic track, tomorrow, Ronnie, if you're around, call back in to ask Kathleen. Well, we're gonna do a show at 2 p.m. Finesse and I will do black on black crime. Now, what black on black crime is, just in case you don't know, black and black crime is when people overtly criticize and critique and analyze black people in areas that they won't criticize white folks in.
Like
so
how Gabby didn't have a good perm to run the
Exactly. That's a black on black crime. But we're going to talk, we may talk about Gabby, but what we're going to talk about is Lolo Jones and her other track mates. So we're going to talk about an Olympic story in our black on black crime tomorrow.
Who's Lolo Jones?
Lolo Jones is the what did she run? She ran the hurdles, and
in this game,
the last Olympics, she was leading the field in her meet. She hit like the second to last hurdle, and she ended up coming in second. But she was obviously leading everybody. She's really really fast. She's really good.
Was she cried? Was she just came back from having two babies? Was that her?
I don't think so. No, that didn't happen in this Olympics.
Oh, I thought you said, I said this game.
It happened in the last one.
Oh, okay. Okay,
in Beijing.
I remember.
So she and some other U.S. women, they were having tension on the track because the other women felt that since she was, you know, pretty and all that other stuff and getting a lot of news attention, that they thought it was unfair that people were favoring Lolo Jones opposed to the other athletes. And in her race, the silver and the bronze went to two Americans, and Lolo, she came in fourth. So she didn't win. And on the podium or doing the interview afterwards on NBC, the commentator asked about her, and the other athlete said, well, it's about the three people who medaled, and they kind of slapped five. They kind of actually had a little black-on-black hate for
she's
her.
Black?
Because yes, she is.
She doesn't look, well, she got a bronze and a gold.
Well, I'm not sure if she did in this Olympics. I'm not sure, did she?
Yeah,
okay,
it says
well,
on August 7th she got a bronze, and August 6th she got a gold in the women's 100 meter hurdles. Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
In the semifinals she came in.
Right. No, she qualified.
Right.
And
she qualified, and then she got a gold medal on the. Was that
now,
a gold medal?
I don't know if she got any medals this Olympics. Like she won the world, the national indoor track stuff. Now she has a lot of accolades and all of that stuff. And she deserves to be mentioned as a premier runner in the U.S. But this is something that we're going to rake this thing over the coals about people hating on her because she's done a lot of, you know, she has a lot of sponsorship, advertisement deals, Red Bull. She's done television
commercials. Oh, yeah, and she didn't meddle.
Well, right. And so the issue is that are they hating her because she's pretty? And that
well,
she's getting attention. Because
I don't know. Okay, I don't know the story. You know,
right.
I'm getting it from you, but let's be for real now. Okay, can I just give you a comparison?
Go ahead.
You only watch the girls. I watch everybody. Now.
Wait a minute. Are you hating on me?
No.
You know what?
No, I'm going to give you a comparison.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to give you a good comparison, though, here. Right? So I'm watching everybody because I like everything. You know, I love every Olympic sport. I guess I'm living vicariously through the Olympians. So here comes the men, the track runners. All the men, I'm not going to say 90% are African-American or African or Jamaican or Ghanaian or Guyanan or something and another. But it's just a very, very brightly colored sport.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're watching the sports, and all of a sudden the camera just stops dead. And there's this man that everybody stops breathing. I stop breathing. My phone starts texting. We're texting. Every girl is texting. Ryan Bailey. Now, mind you, we've never seen him take a step. We've never seen him. We've never seen him bust a bead of sweat. Everybody else was down on the blocks. We don't know if he ran. Everybody is dying over this guy. So I'm texting, did you see Ryan Bailey? So my other daughter says, "Who are you? I don't know. I'm not sure." I said, "Then you didn't see him."
Right, because if you don't have nothing to say, you didn't see him.
No, you didn't see him. So we're laughing. And so my daughter said, "Did you see?" Because I wasn't home at the time. She said, "Did you see?" I said, "The guy in the red?" And she said, at that time I didn't know his name. She said, mm-hmm. "Yes, him." And she said, "But wait a minute, they all had on red."
Right. She's like, "You know who I'm talking about."
Yes, we know who. So we call her back, and the other girl, she says, now Facebook is talking about. So we go further now. Everybody's talking about him. And one of the newscasters says, "My all-time, all-around favorite runner of all times," and she's a Caucasian woman, "Ryan Bailey." Nobody's seen him run yet.
Right, right.
Okay, so last night, night he got a silver medal. He came in second against Bolt from Jamaica, who, runs at the speed of light. But does anybody talk about him? Bolt? No. We're happy he's fast. We love it. Yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
Can we look at Ryan Bailey?
Okay, you know what? You're going to need Kathleen for that portion of our program. But
I mean, saying that who people think are beautiful. It's like if Lolo Jones is getting a lot of attention and she's gorgeous, then it's just the way this world is. People just think, look, if she's gorgeous, they're going to give her a lot of attention.
I know, put it this way. I know Pam Grier's over the age of 25, but if she's running track, I'd watch track. Now, I've been watching track, by the way, anyway. I just want to say that for a record.
Oh, I know you
watch all the other sports, but it does not hurt to watch the other. It's the Olympics, so I did watch the diving, but when you do see pretty folks, it does make you pay attention. Like, I do know the girl who medaled in Canada, who did the heptathlon. She's really pretty, but she is the one that they always advertise because that was their hope for getting a medal. Now, her father's Jamaican, her mom isn't, and so it wasn't like a stereotypical look for her and Lolo Jones or anything, but that's who they were promoting anyway. And then there was another girl who's Canadian who was diving. I just happened to notice pretty people, but I think everybody does when you're watching a sport, but that doesn't say you didn't watch. There were some ugly swimmers that won, and I seen them. Just don't know their names.
We all saw them, but nobody.
Exactly.
But Ryan Bailey, who did nothing but stand on the, he was there when they qualified. Now, we know that he has to be a good runner to even get on the American you know, team. We know he has to be good. But the fact is, we hadn't seen him run. All we know is that we know his name. We know he had on red. He's the most gorgeous thing we've ever seen walk on the face of earth till today. You know what I mean, how girls talk.
Brett, I know what you mean. But that's what I'm saying. But that's what sponsorship is. It's like you can't say just because that person did this, you're only picking them because they're pretty. Like it's like saying that someone's going to pick a receptionist that does not look pretty. Like that's really kind of – it really doesn't happen. It may happen, but I don't think so. Like, you don't hire marketing people for that reason. If you have salespeople, you want people to buy your stuff. And so that's why pretty people go into certain professions. So, hey, don't you can't really hate the process. It's just kind of
I can't hate
happens.
The process. So, Lolo, you know, I'm looking at her now, and I guess she's ranting or raving or whatever. I've not listened to it. There's
yeah,
a clip
she,
I guess.
You know, honestly, she you know, she was really upset. She broke down in her interview. I remember after her first heat, she was upset. They asked her a question, and it was almost like tears in her eyes. She was like, I don't know why everybody, you know, has to hate you kind of thing. And it was her own team. It was a U.S. team. Like, so they had issues with her because of her sponsorship. But she earned all of those accolades. She was the U.S. indoor champion. She, matter of fact, here – I think I have, like, her some of her accomplishments. She what was it? I think it's the NCAA. Was the all American. She's the American record holder for indoor track. She has two world indoor titles, and she also has another American record. Like, she really is no joke. Like, she's not – it's not that she's not good. The fact is that they were comparing her to Anna Kournikova, who never really won anything in tennis. But she
there you go.
Wrestling pretty. And they, but think about it. That's a whole –
wait a minute. Did you ever even see Anna hit a ball?
You're wrong for that, no. And
you ever watch tennis? Did you ever watch the tennis? Did you ever see her hit a ball?
Mm-mm.
Never.
No.
But she got a lot of press.
Well, okay, but again, you can get a lot of press. Think about it this way. If you're the best, did you see the kid who ran for Grenada? The 17-year-old, was he 16, 17-year-old? 15 or 16, I don't know. He won a gold medal for Grenada. It was that nation's first gold medal. He was a really young kid.
I saw him, because it was his first ever.
Exactly. And he said, when they asked him, how do you feel about winning this for your country? He goes, I know they're partying, right? Like, you know that your nation celebrates you when you're the top of your game. Even if you come in last. You know what I mean? Because you made it from that country, and now you're on the world stage. Anna Kournikova was the best Russian in tennis, probably. It was that she sucked at everybody else, but still, there's a whole country economy that you can sell donuts and all this other stuff to. So you can't hate on her because she became popular doing magazine spreads because she's pretty. She could probably be a model.
I think you're not thinking I'm hating on her.
No. I'm not saying you, but I'm just saying generally when
people
hate on athletes like that. Mm-hmm.
But you but also people hate on pretty people. But listen, this whole economy, this whole world is built upon visuals.
Right.
Honest to goodness, no matter how you like it or don't like it, it's built upon visuals. There's some studies. There's been memos. There's notes. There's unfairness. What about the – I don't know if you've heard about those dating sites that you can only become a member of the dating site if you look a certain way. They'll turn you down if you're not absolutely stunning. It's just the way it is. It's unfortunate,
right.
But it's the way it is.
Hey, you know what? But, okay, now that leads me kind of out of my Olympic stuff really quick. Jay-Z and Beyonce has top Forbes list of the highest paid celebrity couples as well. Now,
they
the power
did.
Couple are estimated to have made $79 million together financially, ending the year of May 1st, moving from second place on last year's list behind Tom Brady and Gisele Bündchen.
Now, they beat them this year.
Yes. And third on the list was Victoria and David Beckham, who are worth $54 million. Now, in fourth place, Brad and Angelina, Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, who brought in about $45 million. And in fifth was Will and Jada, about $40.
And look at
now,
all of them.
Hated on.
All, no, but I mean, look
them.
At their looks, though.
No, that's what I'm saying. Beyonce, Giselle, who's a model, Victoria Beckham, who the little Spice Girl thing, Angelina Jolie, and Jada Pinkett. And then look at the guys, Will Smith, Jay-Z, Tom Brady, and David Beckham.
And Tom Brady is like one of the most, yeah, and so is, and Brad Pitt, I mean, is, he is everything in the looks department.
Okay, again,
Jay-Z,
you're listening,
just everything.
Okay, again, you're listening to Ask Kathleen. This testosterone on this side of the mic, and that would be the other side where Ask Kathleen, where Kathleen would be joining in with you right now. I just want to let you know you are alone right now. So if you want to join Ronnie in her her assessment of the Beckham kid or the which one, Tom Brady? No,
Tom Brady,
Brad Pitt. See, I didn't even know which one.
Yeah, Brady is NFL.
Right. But, okay, so just in case you want to join her, our call-in number is area code 909-269-9189. See, I said it
but
wrong.
You,
I didn't
I hope you
mind.
Call in. If you call in, please call in and talk about Brian Bailey because that's, you know, everybody knows how beautiful the Brads and the, you know, the Beckhams and all that. Forget it.
If you know who
right
Brian
now,
Bailey
Ryan
is,
Bailey
in.
Is trending. He is everything.
He's trending. Okay, well, so if you want to trend with Brian Bailey, I guess that guess you can call in. And, you know, and while I'm at this, because I missed doing this news story last week, actor Michael Clark Duncan is out of intensive care.
Oh,
now,
God.
The 54-year-old actor suffered a heart attack a month ago and has remained in the hospital ever since with his loyal girlfriend, Omarosa Manigault Stallworth, by his side. But he finally left intensive care, and his family are firm believers in the power of prayer and have asked you to keep him in yours at during this time, is with a statement that was released. Michael, who's 6'5", if you don't remember him, 325, who was in, good Lord, Armageddon, Whole Nine Yards, Daredevil, one of the Criminal Empire for Dummies, which is due out next year. That's coming
Wasn't
out.
Wasn't he Forrest and, Gump?
He may have been in Forrest Gump, but he was in one of my favorite Welcome Home, Roscoe Jenkins. Now, I have to tell you, one of my favorite scenes of the whole thing is the outtakes. So I
really?
Just want to tell you that part. Well, it's the outtakes where they asked him if he beats his kids. He said, because he said he tased his kids if they don't take out the trash. He goes, you don't tase your kids. He goes, yes, I do. You know, I tase them. So
remember
it's
that.
Actually funny. It was a comedy, so don't worry about it.
I remember that. It was hilarious.
It was hilarious. So,
yeah.
Michael
Clark, I'm so glad to hear he's out of intensive care.
Now, you know what the interesting thing is about that is that he, it was Omarosa who actually resuscitated him. She had literally saved his life.
Wow.
Yep. So,
what?
You know that. That
was
is,
he ill before, or just was an attack that came out of nowhere?
He just suffered a heart attack that pretty much came out of nowhere, I think.
Oh, God. Well, I'm glad to hear he recovered. That would have been such a tragic loss.
Yeah. And while we're doing entertainment news, I missed this one as well. Boxing superstar Floyd Mayweather walked out of jail in Las Vegas.
Good.
After serving 2 months in jail now. He's undefeated. Five division champions. This what he won five divisions. They said he was greeted by 20 family and friends, including rapper 50 Cent. He emerged from the detention center, county detention center, after midnight one at some point last week, and he said the 35-year-old remained silent as he got into his blue Bentley. I don't know why they want to tell what kind of car it is. He's rich. He drove, got into his blue Bentley sedan, drove off. Mayweather received about 30 days off of his 90-day sentence for work time and good behavior. And they said they don't really play, so he had to work. So he, and it's voluntary, so he actually had to do work to get his sentence reduced.
Oh, wow. But he had to get it reduced because boxing was going to go. It's already suffering. It would have been destroyed if he had.
Yeah, that ain't his problem. See, see, the thing about life, it goes like this. He, nobody really cares about him, but sports will make a commodity out of any individual for the benefit of saving his doggone self.
Exactly.
So you know, that
yep.
was
because they postponed was, his. He was supposed to start his. He was sentenced and supposed to start his time, and they postponed his date. They pushed it back so that he could fight that last fight.
Yes. Yeah.
So
that did work out for him. Now, while I'm at this, I want to do the story on U.S. Airlines because, you know, I didn't realize this because I haven't flown in a little bit, but U.S. Airlines have set a record for the first half of 2012 for on-time performance and the fewest cancellations and other customer type of bars that was set from – that's coming from the – Air Travel Consumer Report that was issued this week indicated the 15 largest U.S. airlines posted the 83.7% on-time rating for the first 6 months of 2012, marking the highest for any January to June period in 18 years and comparable data that was collected. That was by the U.S. Transportation Department. And
I said that is amazing.
That is amazing. And a service that's being hailed as the first of its kind in the U.S., American Airlines is allowing its passengers willing to, you know, pay a small shipping fee to ship their luggage or take their luggage from the airport directly to their hotel, motel, home, or office, or wherever they're
$30.
Going. $30. Yep. The amenity, like, it's available exclusive to American Airlines flyers. It started on August 7th. It permits passengers to skip the baggage carousel and claims once they land. The service is available when you book your trip with the airlines or up to 2 hours before your flight takes off from the originating city. That's according to American Airlines. Fees begin at $30 is what they say at the company's website in their statement. With a service being available in almost 200 domestic airports and foreign cities now, if you live more than, I think they said 100 miles, I'm not sure if it's that long, but 100 miles from the airport, depending on how far you live from the airport, they're going to charge you an extra $40 or something like that.
I'm going to give it to them. They know how to make some money. They made over $2 billion in just fees.
Exactly. So I just want to say American has this now, but everybody and their mother is going to roll it out probably by September, by the end of September.
By the end of September.
So, yeah.
That's amazing. I'm sure people will do it.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I'm sure there's some folks that do it. I would never do it. I always carry on because I hate losing baggage, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, I shouldn't say I hate anything, but I don't lose baggage because I carry on.
Exactly.
I
don't want them to drag my bag from my house to my house if I'm walking past it on the carousel. I know it will never hit the carousel, but I'm like, I'm walking. I don't know. I don't think it's that much of a big deal for me to just stop and get my luggage and know that it's not another potential for something to happen to it.
Right. Yeah. So, you have to be real careful about that kind of stuff.
Hmm.
I don't know. You know, me and flying, I'm just saying I don't really have any bad experiences in flying. But
I love flying.
I shouldn't say this. I don't like being searched, though. That is my one pet peeve in life, generally, for being searched. But I know you have to search everybody. So for folk safety, you have to be searched. But just intrusive things, I'm not really big on.
I got used to it now. You know, if I'm harassed, then it becomes uncomfortable. But I try to go in with a good, open mind and try to be pleasant, you know, and try not to wear anything that's going
to
set off the sensors. And
uh-huh.
Yeah, because before I was a little hostile in the beginning, and because they were constantly digging in my hair and digging in my bra. Which, excuse me, I know that's too much information, but they were ridiculous. I didn't like that. We don't like that. But now they've gotten this together, and they're a lot better.
Uh-huh.
They're not as rude as they were in the beginning. I think they had a little power struggle going on there for, you know.
Right.
And, but now they're a lot better.
They was having a moment. Now, before we take a quick break, I want to tell this story do you have a little rave for today? Because I know if we got that out doing your track.
About my Ryan Bailey.
I know that wasn't, because that just came out of nowhere.
Came out of nowhere.
Right.
But I actually did want to talk about something, but it's a little bit on the tragedy side.
We're going to come back at the top of the hour, and we're going to start off after the break with something that you can just go to town on. But I just want to do the story before we take our break. Now, a public school has sparked an outrage by forcing female students to take a pregnancy test and then kick them out if they came back positive or they refused to do so.
Wow.
Now, Delhi Charter School, which is in Delhi, Louisiana, has come under fire for its policy that says it's clearly, well, the people who, American Civil Liberties Union, saying it's clearly illegal under federal laws, but under the new rules, a teacher can require a student to have a test if they suspect she could be pregnant. So the American Civil Liberties Union has blasted the school, which has about 600 students. They said, you know, from this ACLU's executive director said, the pregnancy policy violates the rights of every girl in the school. Every girl is at risk of being subject to intrusive medical tests and possibly forced out of school for reasons that have nothing to do with their education. Federal law prohibits sex discrimination in federally funded education programs and activities and explicitly mandates that schools cannot exclude any student from an educational program or activity. Now, as of the end of the week, just right at the last minute of this story, the school retracted its policy. But can you believe they were just going to slip that thing under the radar? They said it's disruptive when somebody's pregnant in school.
Oh, my God.
I know. What is this world coming to? People are getting way too conservative on a judgmental side of what they can and cannot do to you. They think if you pass a rule, it's okay. We can do it. We passed the rule. You can't do it. Stop trying to get up in people's business. Mind your own. That is a slight public service announcement that I would like to say. You can tell Jerome, don't ask Kathleen. You got nothing to do with it. Send your comments to me so I can delete them. That's comments at TaylorSyracuse.com. You know, I'm fair by saying I'm going to delete them, because I am. You know, you can be crazy all you want to and send me a comment, but I feel no kind of way about that. But I just thought that it was a weird story that they literally wanted to.
Very strange story.
It is.
I don't get it.
I don't either. All right, so we're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna come back at the top of the hour. Rani has something that she is gonna drop on us in her rave, like, soon as we get back. So, Ronnie, be ready.
I'm ready.
Hanging out. For everybody that's hanging out with us, thanks for checking us out. You're listening to Ask Kathleen. Our calling number 909-265-9189. You can check us out on iTunes. You can download us. You can tell a friend to tell a friend. You can post it, the podcast, but just don't tell Kathleen later that Ronnie and I was acting up. So we'll be right back.
after this.
My collection is made of all the things that make me. You can tell my block got bigger, but I always remember where I started. And it feels great to move forward without leaving yourself behind. From uptown to downtown, it's all part of my style. I'm right where I'm supposed to be, thanks to where I've been. My style tells my story.
Introducing the Jennifer Lopez Collection, only at Kohl's.
There are so many fun things we all can do to be healthier, no matter who you are or where you are. So let's move.
Well, here we go. We're getting set to get underway.
Let's stretch in the grass.
Great play.
Let's play tag.
What a play.
Let's jump up and down.
Oh, what a way to finish it.
And most of all, let's eat better so that we have the energy we need to play an hour a day every day.
Everyone can play. Just go to letsmove.gov to learn more.
I know what you're going through.
I've been there.
Nobody else I know has been there.
It's not easy being a veteran.
Coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan, I had been so excited to come home.
But it's harder than I thought.
Not everyone understands that.
Things at home may be as you left them.
But you don't feel the same.
Join us at communityofveterans.org.
And connect to others who are going through the same thing.
Because no one knows what it's like to come back unless they were there.
Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Applebee's 2 for 20 is back and fresher than ever.
So, Dave, you and the wife at separate tables now?
Honey, it's my 2 for 20 club night.
I think it's my 2 for 20 club night.
So grab your 2 for 20 club and savor inspired new favorites like tender chicken fettuccine carbonara and garden fresh bruschetta chicken. Or go for a classic like our 7-ounce house sirloin. That's one appetizer, two entrees, just $20.
Mom, Dad?
It's the freshest 2 for 20 yet, only at Applebee's. Now serving half-priced appetizers late night.
Welcome back to Ask Kathleen. Hey, I'm your host, I'm your guest host today, Jerome Esprit, political strategist. We're talking about everything. We haven't even talked about politics yet, so I know that we're probably going to cover some political things in a little bit, but because I know that new VP pick stuff is going on, but I'll have to yell about that later. But we're going to go to Ronnie. Ronnie's rave in a minute, so we're gonna give a minute, Ronnie. You're not up yet, but I wanted to say you can again check us out. You can check me out on Esprit Radio. We do news every Thursday, a week summary of all news. That's all the news that's going on in the world, just like kind of what we did today. You can check us out Thursdays BTR. You can check us out on EspritRadio.SoulOfSyracuse.com. And you can, you know, send your comments there or dial in and check out our show as well. So, hey, feel free. Now, let's take a quick second. I was trying to think of, I knew I had another birthday shout-out that I need to make, but I actually, you know, kind of forgot what it was. So I'll let everybody kind of just little party a little bit. Pretend it's your birthday. Right, it comes back. All right. Again, listen to Ask Kathleen. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for joining in. I am looking. Ronnie, are you back yet?
I'm back.
Oh, okay. Well, wait a minute, because I'm not bringing you in yet. I just wanted to make sure you were there, and so that we can take a quick break. Where's my? I'm trying to stop my intro music so I can start yours. All right. Now, I think we're done with that. All right, so now we're going to bring up our rave music for you. All right, so coming on. That's right. You have your theme music on. Welcome, Ronnie. Ronnie's rave. Make it happen.
I've been like with bated breath waiting to discuss this situation. So of course everybody that's been in this in earshot of the Chick-fil-A incident knows that there's a big I guess anti-Chick-fil-A restaurant. If anybody knows, it's a chicken restaurant. They serve chicken sandwiches and whatever. I've never really eaten there. I heard it was awesome, but because the owner of the Chick-fil-A restaurant is a Christian and does not, which he did not say he did not approve, but he does not approve of marriage. He believes in marriage between a male and female, or the biblical sense of biblical marriage, the way that God intended it in the Bible for people to be married.
Yeah, what they call
traditional. Mm-hmm. All right, traditional marriage. So that's a better way to put it. So anyway, the gay community went into an uproar. They went on out and they protested the restaurant, which I just figured, like, if he doesn't like the way your lifestyle is being handled, or who you've chosen for your mate or your life partner, don't eat there. Why do you have to protest the restaurant? Why do you have to go to his restaurant and stand there and kiss? I thought it was a bit much, but I didn't hear one protest against the marriage between a male and female that was barred from a Baptist church in Alabama, I believe. They were a couple that had been attending the church. They were members. And they had the wedding all set, and the white congregation decided that they didn't want any black couples being married in that church because no black couples had ever been married there before.
So
no,
that was their reason?
About that. Yep.
Okay.
And the minister obliged the congregation and told the couple, look, I think we're going to relocate your wedding to another church, and because I don't want you to have a bad day, we don't want you to have an unpleasant marriage, we'll just go to another church and, you know, let the congregation be at peace. Nobody had a thing to say about this. I was
that's not even hidden racism. That's not hidden.
That's not hidden. That's just blatant insanity. But, no, not a word about that. Not a word about that. So I just, yeah. And I'm not going to go into a complete rant about it. But my issue was that whenever the gay and lesbian community has a whenever they're able to ask for equality or speak on their lack of equality, they bring in the fact that they're being treated like Africans or African Americans. Their lack of equality is the same issue as what has happened to the African American, and it never has, and never will be. It never will be, because we get blatantly treated, racially treated. We're abused on a daily basis. It's subtle. It's obvious. And you hear anybody going to bat for us? No. I think it's our own fault, actually. Because personally, that church should have been blasted all over the news. I saw it in passing on the internet, and I think I saw it once on the news, and I believe that if I were the couple, I wouldn't have let that minister marry me.
Right.
Went to the court.
Right, and I think they retracted it and tried to.
Did you hear about that incident?
Yes, and they did offer to let them get married there, and they turned them down. After all of that, they said, "Oh yeah, no. Well, we're gonna work through it," and they really went back and tried to offer that couple to get married at that church. Didn't work out.
Well, was this after they were married?
No. It was before. It was before. It was once the news story broke out, because they were, you know, people try to put, you know, they tried to put the fire out after the fact. And so that's when they went back and said, hey, you know what? You guys can get married here. They changed
their
mind.
Oh, and the couple said, forget it. Yeah, good.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have went near the place.
And yeah,
especially that they're members of the church. It's like, oh, my God. Okay, so I didn't hear the retraction.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. You know, I read the story because when I read the story, the couple were already married. So.
Right. Right, but they did late in the ball game. They probably were like getting married, and they were like 2 days before. It's like getting your acceptance letter to college after you moved in to your dorm room.
To your dorm.
You know what? That was a personal story. I did actually get an acceptance letter on the day that I was leaving. I was like, what is this?
But okay, now the Chick-fil-A incident.
Uh-huh.
I thought, why not just don't go there? What did it prove?
I don't understand the Chick-fil-A story. Although I know that Chick-fil-A probably made a lot of money.
This is the best business they ever did.
Right. Now, you know, I can agree with you on the concept, because I've been talking about this when the whole Juneteenth parade thing, and they wanted to do the I can't think of what it is, LBSG stuff. They wanted to do it on the same day that they did Juneteenth or something. And I thought, throughout history, the women's suffrage movement, all of these movements always piggyback on black folks, you know, on civil rights when it comes to black folks, and then exclude them when something specifically happens to black people. Like, it's really odd. And so Susan B. Anthony and those guys doing women's suffrage, you know, recruited black women who helped out, and then once they got a foothold on civil rights, they kicked all the black folks out. They were like, this is about women, it's not about race. Susan B. Anthony, Elizabeth Cady Stanton. Yes.
Oh.
And so this is nothing new, and so I always kind of, I can compartmentalize my thoughts on that kind of stuff because it doesn't really make sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, yeah.
But they made a killing, so I guess they were.
Okay, I want to say this, although I don't eat Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A actually has some really good food.
Oh, it is good?
Yeah, I remember going in Houston, and my cousin was like, okay, let's stop by Chick-fil-A. And I remember having it before years ago, and she was like, if it wasn't so expensive, I would always eat Chick-fil-A. It is actually really good.
Oh, okay.
So,
is it in your area?
No. There's no Chick-fil-A yet. I don't think there's any in New York State, actually.
No, they're going to open one in Brooklyn.
Are they really?
They've got the... Okay, there's a... the big hoopla was that there was a Congress... don't let me misspeak if she's a congresswoman, but anyway, she is a government official.
Mm-hmm.
And she, I believe, was against them getting the licensing to sell here because of their views, which, of course, they say is against their, you know,
well,
you can't discriminate against them because of their views. It's ridiculous.
Well, as long as they don't discriminate.
Exactly.
That's the point.
So they got their zoning, they got their licensing, and they're supposed to open one in Brooklyn. Now, we were down south last summer, and I didn't get to taste the Chick-fil-A because my daughter wanted to eat at the Waffle House. So we had a split going on.
It's like Chick-fil-A's rival. They wanted to get a Waffle House.
Yeah, uh-huh. So she had to go to the Waffle House, as if that's uh-huh. what they said down there. And
uh-huh.
so I just ended up going to the Waffle House with her, and I didn't get to go to the Chick-fil-A. And so I guess the next time, either when they get to Brooklyn, I'll taste it, or maybe the next time I go to, because I heard they have it in New Jersey.
Well,
I believe
I
they
know.
Do. I don't know, but I've never eaten it anyway, but I heard it was great.
Look, I'd rather go to a Whataburger, so this is me. Anywho.
You eat, whatever. You're a vegetarian?
No. It's called What a Burger. It's a food chain down in Houston. You know, that's a 24-hour burger spot. We used to go there in Taco Cabana. So when I go south, I don't think I ever really jumped into Chick-fil-A because there's just so much other stuff that I
uh-huh.
think I read.
Okay.
And I don't
that's
eat
okay.
meat. I don't eat a lot of meat at all. So.
Yeah, me too. So I kind of, you know, if I'm not going to fight over it, you know what I mean? I don't eat a lot of meat, so
If I miss it, I'll try it another time. Now, I wanted to talk about these young children being shot in this city, and this has really been hurting my feelings. I'm trying not to get offended, but, you know, there was a little girl, 2 years old. They were out watching a barbecue or something, family event or something out in Brooklyn, 2 years old, got shot in the leg by open fire between, I don't know who these people are that feel that they have to open fire in a crowd of people, you know, out enjoying the summer. And then there's another young boy who got shot at a celebrity charity basketball game in the Bronx and was killed, 9 years old. What in the world is wrong with these people? And it's been all over the city. What in the world is wrong with these people? Now, the other day, a guy shot a policeman in the leg, in both legs, actually. And listen here, I guarantee you they're going to find him.
Oh, yeah. It's all about motivation. Like, they're going to find him.
And yesterday, and after this, I will return your mic, Jerome. But yesterday, I was in Manhattan, and I'm walking down the street, and all of a sudden, it's all out crime scene, command posts, police everywhere, diverted traffic, whatever. And so I get to the corner, and, of course, the New Yorkers are rubbernecking, and I go, what happened? And they said somebody got shot. So when I get home, I turn on the news, and there's this guy who was in Times Square smoking marijuana, so they say, and the police approached him and said, listen, you know, you can't smoke marijuana on the street. And he pulled out a machete. And went after them, well, you know, pulled out a machete, and the police followed him 7 blocks down the street and asking him to please put down the weapon. And then they even tased him, and he wasn't fazed.
Was he not black? There is no way they would let a black person run more than 3 feet with a machete in their hand. There is no way. You cannot convince me. I know better. You said 7? Look, if you look like people have been getting killed that were black for having cell phones in their hand, you telling me they identified it as a machete and they knew he was smoking.
It was shiny.
Wait, and they knew he was smoking.
Let me see, because I didn't know if the man was black or not. I didn't even make it.
I didn't think of it. No, he's not black. No, I don't know.
Oh.
I didn't see him. No, I
is
don't
that
know
why he
shot.
Lived for 7 blocks?
Let me tell you, if he didn't get shot when he stood up, he was not black. I am guaranteeing that part.
Oh, my God. You heard the story?
I think I do recall the story. But let me see. Wait a minute. We have a caller. We're going to bring in the caller in, and maybe they heard the story. Welcome to Ask Kathleen, area code 347. How you doing? Hello, caller? Okay.
Was there somebody there? They dropped off?
Yeah, they must have. They're still on, but, you know, in case you want to jump in, caller, just hit one on your phone and we'll bring you back in. They may have hit one by mistake, but.
Okay, so I didn't look at the nationality of the person. All I saw was that I'm on the same street as this incident, and he comes down the street. They were able to follow him 7 blocks with a machete, asking him to put down this weapon, and finally he charged at him, and they open fired on him, Jerome. Like, you'd have thought it was Iraq. Now, I'm sure he was dead by the time I got to the corner, and I didn't see any, I didn't see the body or anything like that. But the fact of the matter is, what is going on in this city? And they could have an open fire on a man with a knife, but we are in a community where, okay, they had enough police to converge on this one man with a knife. This is my point, really.
And they probably got on pretty quick.
They had like 45. Let me tell
I'm
you how
sure.
many.
Uh-huh.
Children being shot in the city, you can't do anything about that?
And you can't find a policeman?
Anywhere?
You know what? But the way policing goes, some areas are covered and some areas aren't. And, you can get about 45 policemen if you're in the right place holding a machete. But you can walk around. And again,
okay, well, you know, you are affecting the economy when you pull out a machete on Times Square because all the tourists are like, oh, wait a minute.
And the problem is they didn't want to shoot them because they didn't want the tourists to see them get shot, so they let them go 7 blocks till they got into a neighborhood that was a little bit more conducive for police shootings. Because I know New York City, and 7 blocks is a long way. That is not like a normal block in any other normal city.
We were laughing so hard because we like 7 blocks. That's like walking from Manhattan to Brooklyn.
Exactly.
That's the distance.
Each block is about 4 blocks to your normal city. So if you got seven
with a knife, wielding knife and a joint or whatever it was he was smoking. Because
okay.
He didn't put the joint down. If he was willing to defend it with a knife, he did not put
it
down.
I'm sorry I didn't cover this during my Olympic news segment because that, my friend, he at least got the bronze. 7 blocks with a machete and didn't get shot in New York City. Okay.
They set him on fire. Blazed him up, I'm telling you. Guns of glory, I'm telling you. They all were in the middle. When you have to look on the thing. They had the guns drawn and they just went and lit him up.
No.
I'm just glad I had missed the worst part of it. Because I couldn't believe I was in the middle of the crime.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to be. No, you don't want to be around that stuff.
No, it was terrible. And I told I was telling my daughter about it, and I said, you know, when it's in a neighborhood and there's a crime scene, they have this little flimsy yellow tape that usually dragging the ground or whatever. Now,
uh-huh.
When you go down to Manhattan around Times Square, they have this fabulous time.
Yeah.
Tapes off, roped off, command centers. Being,
right. They had
right.
a red carpet rolling around it.
Red
like,
carpet.
Please step this way. You know. And with one of those recordings that says, please step to your right.
Please step to your right. We're diverting traffic.
Please step to
your right. We're diverting traffic. You know, then they bring out these beautiful you go on the movie set and you see these fabulous, they call them honey wagons, but you see these fabulous RVs that the actors like Will Smith and so forth.
Yes. Uh-huh.
You know, when they're on the sets, they have their
uh-huh.
own RVs that they get
they
to sleep
have,
in or whatever. Yeah.
Their own trailers,
they have those now. They have those out.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
That's nice. Okay.
No paddy wagons, you know, no regular raggedy rickety rack.
Yeah, they don't bring those around in areas where people might see them. Well, some people might see them.
Well, anyway, I'm good.
Now, okay. Now, again, that was Ronnie's Rave for the day. And, hey, you can send your comments to Ronnie's Rave to Kathleen. No, I'm just joking. You can't send them to me. But, you know what, sometimes we have to put some reality thought-provoking stuff in here because news sometimes gets to be crazy. Now, I want to go with some good kid news story. Now, finally, some good news about cholesterol in kids. Now, a big government study, a U.S. government study, shows in the past decade the portion of children who have high cholesterol has fallen. Now, the results were surprising, given that childhood obesity rate didn't budge. Now, some experts think that while most kids may have eaten less or exercised more, they may be getting fewer trans fats. So the cholesterol is going down, but they're still putting on weight. Now, they said that's because the artery-clogging ingredients has been removed or reduced from many of the processed or fried foods, such as donuts, cookies, and French fries. But the study did not look at reasons for the decline. Now, the lead author from the Center of Disease Control and Prevention, Brian Kitt, said the theory makes sense. Research was released by it makes sense that the decline was because of trans fats, is what he said. And research was published in the Journal of American the American Medical Association. So cholesterol levels have been declining in adults, too, is what they found. And the incidence of high cholesterol dropped about 27% in the last decade, from 1 in 5 adults in the beginning of the period to 1 in 7 at the end. So people with cholesterol are getting better, but
that's
we're exercising
less.
Hey, I said it was kind of good news. Now, here is my thing about weight in children and childhood obesity. I guess I gave a little commentary and disclaimer on this. I think when we started about 8 years ago with the No Child Left Behind nonsense, when they started cutting athletic programs and gym to make people have higher test scores, I think they were kind of dumb to not figure if you cut out recess and you cut out children's activities, they were going to gain weight if they're sitting there at a desk all day.
Oh, my God.
Who didn't see that coming? Like, when you make a law or a rule, I think you need to actually have some kind of common sense before you start saying, our test scores need to be higher. Kids don't need gym. We waste too much money on athletics when they need to be studying. That is nonsense. Kids need to go outside and play,
exactly.
And they need to run around and burn energy. Now we have childhood obesity issues that people are blaming on their parents, which is crazy.
It is crazy.
At the same time. Now, in other health news, by the way, U.S. health officials said doctors should consider giving an AIDS prevention pill to women and heterosexual men who are at high risk for getting the virus. The U.S. government previously advised doctors to give a one-a-day pill of Truvandia. Wait a minute, isn't that getting sued for something? There's some bad side effects in there someplace, I think. But it said giving Truvandia to high-risk gay and bisexual men early was what it used to be advised for. However, more than a quarter of new HIV cases each year are heterosexual, which is according to the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention. The U.S. health officials said last year that doctors who prescribe Truvandia as a preventative for men at high risk, it started working, and since then, the studies have found that it can prevent the virus in women and heterosexual men. So last month, the USDA formally approved the sale of Truvandia as a preventative measure for healthy people who are at high risk of HIV. Now, the CDC is not recommending that anybody take that pill for all sexually active heterosexuals. Only if you're high risk, they're saying take it, but do not take it just to take it. I think the side effects are bad. I can remember a couple of lawsuits on Truvandia.
Yeah. I heard this. The side effects are bad on a lot of those drugs. Medication.
Yeah, they'll prevent
that
one
way,
thing.
Because I won't call it a drug, because they don't call it a drug. It's a medication.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's a drug medication. Okay, put it this way. It's given by a drug manufacturer. So the medication is coming from a drug company.
Right.
How about we not run disclaimer? You're listening to Ask Kathleen. I'm just joking. You guys are always getting me red flagged every time you do the show. So I just want to remind you, for everyone on the line who are joining in listening today, you could hit 1 on your line so we can bring you in. For those who are listening in the chat and listening online, our call-in number is area code 909-265-9189. You can join in with me and Ronnie. We're just kind of bouncing around some news of the day. And since I didn't get to any political news, I might as well let this out of the bag because everybody knows by now, or because it's been all over the news for the whole weekend, is that Mitt Romney picked Congressman, what's his name, Ryan, for his VP pick to run. The presumptive Republican nominee picked Congressman Ryan to be his VP to run in November. Now, the reason I'm not running any better music and doing a commentary on this, is because that's probably the most retarded pick I think I've ever seen as a strategist. Now, I'm a professional, so I just want to really throw that out there. I'm not a political pundit. I'm not saying that from an emotional side of caring who wins or not, but just from a strategist side of the coin, that is probably worse than the Sarah Palin pick that you could ever pick in a candidate.
But he is very handsome.
Yeah, but Batman and Robin still seem kind of gay anyway. You know what I mean? Just because you have a young, just because you have a young sidekick. And, oh, by the way, send your comments to comments@soulofsyracuse.com. I'll delete them there. Now, the issue is, we were just talking about the Olympics and watching
you
people because they're pretty one way or another.
I just threw my back out.
Oh, no.
That was hilarious.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Now, here's the thing. I can give you this on a very professional political way. Now, as doing analysis, New York 26, which is a district in southern Buffalo, south of Buffalo, it is. They had a special election last year, 2011. The average voter is about 62 years old, right? Very few minorities. It's about 70% Republican, and a Democrat has not won there in over 100 years. No president elections, no nothing. No Democrat has won there in 100 years. Now, the former congressman in that district was Jack Kemp, who Ryan actually worked for. Now, last year, the Republican who was running lost to a Democrat for the first time in 100 years. And you know why? Because the Ryan budget cuts Medicaid and cuts Medicare, creates a voucher program, and then renames that Medicare. And the seniors over there who are all Republican said, bite me. And they elected a Democrat to Congress. So, if you want to know what's in the Ryan budget, know that Republicans don't even like it. Now, so Ryan went there. Newt Gingrich went there. John Boehner went there. And that Paul Ryan budget was the bane of their existence in upstate New York, in an area that was traditionally Republican, went Democratic last year. And you put that guy on the ticket. That's
so, in other words, you don't think it was wise?
No. There are numbers that prove that that wasn't wise. The Ryan
so
budget.
So why did he pick him? Because he's handsome? Because he is very handsome.
That won't work. That won't work in politics. You're talking about older folks generally, and even with the voter suppression stuff, that's not going to work. And let me, I can give you some numbers on this while we're doing facts, and I'm being serious for a second. The Ryan budget cuts farm subsidies, transportation, science programs, unemployment, FEMA, border control, student loans, prisons, and federal workers. Not only does it do that, it raises the taxes on anybody making under $200,000, and if you make over $1 million, you get a tax break of about $120,000. But it raises everybody else's taxes and cuts all of those programs and adds a little over $1 trillion to the deficit.
Well,
those are the facts. So I think that's why he lost. That's why the Republicans lost this very conservative upstate New York. Is in Buffalo, so it's closer to Ohio, which a little conservative area, rural area. Like I said, it's over 70% Republican, and the average voter is over 60 years old. You would think that would be made for Republicans because they were all pretty much Republicans.
Yeah,
because
that's
lost.
What I thought when I saw him. I said, well, he's going after the older, you know, Republicans that are happy to see two very, 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 very Caucasian men
you know, both very, very good to look at, you know, because Mitt Romney, to me, is just a mess.
Well, they're both a mess, and he made the mistake by saying it's my presidential nominee. So he already...
Did you hear him? I heard him say that.
Yes. Yes. But after he actually went to London, made bad comments there, his trip was just a bust. He's just, he doesn't have the stature for it. And arrogance will show through you. It's one of the things that I tell candidates who are running for office. One of the first things I sit down and talk to them about is their stature. And if you can't deal with people, you shouldn't be running. And neither one of those guys should be running.
He said he is my presidential candidate. And I shook my head like, oh, it's early in the morning. I must be tired.
Yeah.
I said,
yeah,
he didn't say presidential candidate. And I said, nah, he couldn't have said that.
Yeah. So those guys are pretty much out of touch. But I think what happens is that how do you go around the country and sell to farmers, for example, that you're going to cut farm subsidies? How do you go through and...
Are they going to lie to them?
Right, exactly. But how do you tell people in the South that you're going to cut border patrol control?
They're going to lie to them.
Right. How do you tell students you're going to cut student loans and FEMA? You know, we are, and one of the early stories that I did was the drought conditions, and this is the hottest July.
Yeah, really bad.
The hottest July since 1936. So we are having problems with, you know, crop and crop insurance and all this, and so the federal government's going to have to kick in to help stabilize our food supply to some degree and subsidize them with farm insurance. But he's talking about cutting all of that stuff that's in his budget. So Mitt Romney's plan is no better. If you make over $1 million, you get a $300,000 tax break. If you make between $50,000 and $75,000, your taxes, your tax break is about $1,800. And if you make,
does that apply
40,
to him as well?
What, that $300,000 tax break? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to apply to him. So, but if you make somewhere around $10,000 to $20,000, you see a positive. Your taxes are going to go up $1,000, and if you make between $40,000 and $50,000, your taxes are going to go up $800. And those numbers are according to the Tax Policy Center, the nonpartisan Tax Policy Center. So the issue is that you, there's a very, I don't know how those guys are going to sell this. Of course they're going to lie, but the issue is that they're going to go around saying, it's about the economy, it's about the economy, and these are the numbers on the economy. We have seen the most dramatic turn in our economy in our lifetime. So our economy before President Obama was shrinking at about 6% a year, and it grows at nearly 2% a year, which means it took a pendulum swing of a positive 8% since the president has been in office.
Wow.
It's one of the most dramatic in our lifetime. So
why don't they want to give him the credit that he's due?
Because, you know, the only argument that they have is it should be better than that. But that's not a really good argument. It's not negative. It's not going backwards. They're just saying it should be better. And if we spend your money, it will be better. That whole theory is crazy. But anyway, so, you know, Paul Ryan is the VP pick, and I thought we'd share that in a quick political segment, just in case somebody wanted to ask. I was going to ignore it and didn't think anything of it.
No, you had to. You had to mention it.
Well, I dealt with it. I was on a Clear Channel station this morning. I usually do that news show, and it's Clear Channels is a partner with Bain. Actually, has a part of Clear Channels as a partner, and they actually own a subsidiary that owns the Rush Limbaugh show. And so those guys are all on that network, Rush Limbaugh and Hannity. So this morning, lighting into them, the callers were pretty. I wouldn't say they were upset. They're normally crazy and mean, but my response to them is always, you know, aren't you tired of hearing people lie to you? Because their whole thing is that hearing those news shows all day, people telling you the same lie over and over again, you start to believe that. Right. So when they said,
I don't believe it.
Yeah, something happened, and he said, that I don't think that's true. And I said, well, have you seen the budget? And he said, no. And I said, well, how do you know it's not true? And they don't know. They're just brainwashed to just say the economy's worse, the economy's bad, the economy's bad. But we can't take, as minorities, we know in the black community generally, the economy really doesn't get better for the black community no matter what president is there generally. And especially bad economic times, they're the last to see the recovery because their government jobs have been laying off, even though we had 30 months or 29 months of private sector job growth.
Right.
We have 30 straight months of private sector job growth. But public sector jobs are decreasing. So that usually hits minorities a little different.
When President Clinton was in office, the African-American community did fare a little bit better.
How could they? Because
I didn't know anybody
Reagan
that became
the,
a billionaire.
No. But think of it this way. We just came out of Reagan's time.
Right.
So,
but by the end
of
the 8 years, it was a little bit better.
It definitely was because we had a budget surplus as well. But
and everybody had
Clinton,
a job.
Yeah. Clinton technically, well, they had so much money. Like companies right now has about almost $2 trillion in the last year of profits. That's according to, on their balance sheet, and they're not hiring. They're making a ton of money, but we get to hear this, you know, that it's that the economy's bad. The problem is Congress, for the first time in history, I think they averaged something like 170 appropriations bills a session. Do you know the 2011 Congress, John Boehner, Paul Ryan, all those guys, have zero appropriations bills for this year? It is why the post office is
How
bad.
How do you find out all this information?
That stuff is right. I read probably about 14 news sources a day. And it's my job as a strategist. I'm actually doing a campaign this year as well. And so you keep up on news, you keep up on information, and you need to know data. And the issue with that is that sometimes people don't – well, I'm not telling anybody to go seek that information, but the problem is that this is one of the least productive Congresses in history. It's worse than the 1948 Congress, which was called the Do-Nothing Congress. So when you don't know the function of government or the role of government – you don't know that it's Congress's job to pay the bills of the country. The president's side doesn't do that. All the money that domestically goes into the economy comes out of Congress. It's illegal for the president to do it. So, you know, but Congress, this Congress was the least productive in modern history.
Hmm.
Yeah, and so just to kind of shed a little perspective on that. It is just that they are holding back from paying any bills to make people suffer until the election. It was very intentional on the Republican side. It's very intentional. So it's very sad, and it's sad to know that we have, you know, $2.7 trillion of a surplus in Social Security.
Okay,
really,
so now you're the person that has brought that to the forefront, brought that to our attention. Why is it no one bringing that to the public's attention? When I see these rallies and I see President Obama out, I don't see anybody, you know, campaigning for him. I don't hear anybody saying to Mitt Romney, "You're a liar."
Well,
you know, like they did to President Obama. When he was out there, remember they were heckling him and everything. I don't hear anybody saying to him, "You're a liar."
No, well, actually, they've been pretty mean to Mitt Romney on the Republican. The Tea Party people are crazy, and so they sometimes do that to him. They heckle him, and the media does not really show it because it doesn't fit the narrative to having this close race that they want to have to help their ratings on television. So when you look at the polling. People don't know, and I guess I monitor this stuff so much that they don't know that most of the polls that are really close are by Republican-leaning pollsters or very new polling companies. So if you poll everybody in the suburbs, they're going to say, oh, yeah, we ain't voting for him. But no Democrats are getting calls.
Okay.
So when you look at the more reputable ones, the Gallup.
Except me, because they call us every 10 minutes.
Do they? Well, it depends. Mm-hmm. It depends. Because they're reputable ones. Now, they're Gallup and a couple of
other
ones.
No, I mean the Democrats call, not the
polling
officers. No, they don't call.
And so with Gallup and all these other reputable ones, when you look at
those
polls,
call me.
They always have the president at a pretty good lead. But the ones that show that the president is close are always Republican-leaning pollsters. So I've noticed that for a while. And they want you to believe that it's close, except for the last Fox News poll. And Fox actually did a poll, and the president was leading by about 6 or 7%.
Yeah, I saw that yesterday, and they said, boy, you better do something fast, because he is when Fox News reports that you're down in the polls,
because they
want to call them and said, you are in big trouble, buddy, because we're not even giving out the true numbers, because you know how they try to protect
right.
each other. So that's when he comes up with this guy, because what happened to the actual other gentleman, was it Pawlenty that he was supposed
Pawlenty?
To pick?
Mm-hmm.
Or Christie?
Yeah, none of those guys were. They're not camera friendly, and Christie needs to lose some weight, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah, Christie needs. We knew Christie's going to be on a diet because I believe he's going to want to run in 2016.
He's not going to win. People don't like mean spirited people. That he doesn't hide himself from being mean spirited. So
he's hideous, but
yeah, I wouldn't think that was going to happen.
But, so there was Pawlenty and another gentleman that had been campaigning and had won a few primaries. We thought he was going to pick one of those. So where did this guy come from? Help me. Just if you told me already, refresh me.
Where did who come from? The other
Ryan.
Ryan. Well, Ryan, it's called the Ryan budget because he was the
congressman. Right, Ryan's home. That's what they're calling him now.
Yeah, Paul Ryan. He's young. Republicans think that if they put more young people, they don't track young people. And so if you look around the country for the voter ID legislation and the voter suppression stuff that's going on in Florida and, you know, Ohio and Pennsylvania and all these other places, if you look at it, these voter ID laws are meant to keep young people out of it. So you can't, you know, use your college ID, but you need government ID, which if you go to a state school, is technically a government ID, but you can't use college ID. And it's keeping elderly and minorities out of it. And the reason that it's keeping educated people out of voting is because in 1984, the statistics for actual voters in 1984 said that 69% of the voters overall were uneducated white voters. But today, that number is now 39%.
Oh, right. You just
right?
been telling us that for weeks. So
right. And so the educated voters in 84 was 21%, and now that's up to 29%. So if they don't bring the educated voters down, you can't lie to them on Fox News enough because people are not believing that. So they can't even get the own folks that you would think would be their base. You can't bait them with race stuff. You have to bait the uneducated voters and the people who are pretty crazy to actually fall for race stuff. You know, don't vote for him. He's a secret Muslim. Like that kind of stuff. That only works with people who
ignorant.
Well, right, or people who are truly disconnected from everybody else. But once you get more educated people in the voter pool, that's problematic for the Republicans because those lies don't really work because they would probably be listening to our show and listening to any of the other shows that actually gives out information.
Well,
so
if anybody is listening, and I did forget to send out condolences to the people that were in that temple that got shot.
Yes.
That was awful.
Yes. Yep. And, and so, you know, they're still talking about certain type of gun laws that probably need to be on the books. Now, there was an interesting story about that last week about gun laws that talked about the Supreme Court justice who is pretty conservative, Anthony Scalia, who talked about he was being interviewed after, you know, after that incident happened, and Anthony Scalia said that there are already laws on the books to. Here's the story. He says new gun control laws could be permissible because even the founding fathers restricted some weapons at the times that they wrote the Constitution. Now, he's a Constitution guy, so the pronouncement by one of the most staunch conservative justices on the high court is an admission that gun control could be tightened in the wake of that shooting, in the wake of what happened in Aurora, Colorado as well. Now, he's the longest serving justice on the court, but he pointed to a law called frightening, and which prevented citizens from carrying certain weapons like beheading axes, speaking of people getting shot with axes, that were meant to just scare people. He said that I believe it was a misdemeanor back then. So, yes, there were some limitations imposed. So you can't walk around with a huge axe just to intimidate people because you had the right to bear arms. So the founding fathers said, if you are doing something to immediately cause terror, which there can be some restriction on weapons if it's causing terror. So that just sent up a red flag to everybody who's conservative to know that there may be some gun legislation restriction stuff coming down the pike, and the Supreme Court may allow it.
Well, it's time.
Sure is.
It's time. Enough is enough, because we're not – okay, the right to bear arms is one situation, and for you to mow down people at will is another.
Right, and you don't have a right to do that. So
you don't have a right to do that.
That's right.
And it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse.
Oh, yeah. It is definitely going to get worse if you don't do something. But we're gonna take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and wrap up the show. We have about 12 minutes left. So we're going to wrap up. Let's take a quick break. We're going to come right back after this message. We're going to give you a PSA, okay, and then we'll do a little wrap up. All right. We'll be right back.
Hands can do incredible things. This is the sound of 326 hands playing Mozart. This is the sound of 10,942 hands showing appreciation. 64 hands building a house for the homeless. 142 hands swimming a triathlon. 18 hands winning the big game. And this is the sound of two hands helping to save a life. It's called hands-only CPR, and it's recommended by the American Heart Association. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. It's incredibly easy and effective. Hands can do incredible things, but nothing compares to using them to help save a life. Find out more about this latest method of CPR at handsonlycpr.org. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
All right. Well, welcome back to Ask Kathleen, here with lovely co-host Ronnie. See, Kathleen never say that to you, does she? You know what? You know what? That's why we didn't force her to take a break, but we knew she needed one, so we're gonna give her a break today to just give her a moment. She's gonna listen to this in the archives, isn't she? Hey, Kathleen, how are you? Yeah, can't wait to hear you next week. She's going to yell
me
at me.
I can't wait to hear her.
Oh, no.
She's missed.
Hey, you know. Oh, you know, I forgot to say this. You know, Sparkle is going to be in theaters on
that's
August
right.
17th. So
I can't
Whitney
wait.
The movie Sparkle is going to be
I can't wait. I don't know. Was it yesterday? I was watching I think it was VH1 Soul. I don't know if you get that channel, gets that channel, but they were doing a Whitney Houston tribute, and I actually had to turn it off.
Oh, no.
I was so choked up. It was just, I was actually choked up. I just remembered how much I enjoyed her music and how much I loved her. I was a really big Whitney Houston fan, so. After, you know, I just kept looking at her and listening to her beautiful voice, and I had to turn it off. I said, what in the world? How did this happen? Now,
before you close, I had to let you know that the girls went to see New Edition.
Oh, no.
Yes, they did. The other night, they went to see New Edition, Bobby Brown, and Bobby Brown, Johnny Gill, and Ralph Tresvant. So
Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, and Mike.
So that was a treat. And they said Bobby squalled and squeaked and you know, slurred his way through it, but he made it through.
You know what? But they still give a good show.
Of course
they do.
We can't wait. We love them.
And let me tell you, I don't care what anybody says, you know, and I know they probably said this when we were young, but the older groups perform.
They
like,
really
you,
do.
You know, some of them may not even sound the same. They at least put in some work when they come
on
stage.
They put in work. We were thrilled. I was so thrilled. So, yeah, we went to see them back then. So, you know, we're diehard fans. We'll always go to see them.
You saw them when they was coming out with their new moves. Like, you ain't seen nothing new this time, but they were just still kind of together. But back
but
then, it was
still
like, what
together,
this?
Yeah, so we're happy to see them still together, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Things
could
have went over a different way, so.
That's cool. Okay, so I don't mean to do this to you, but what would be your favorite New Edition song?
Oh, my God. That's a good question.
They got to be a lot of them, though.
There's a lot of them, but any heartbreak.
Okay, I was going to say, here's what I can do. You give me your favorite New Edition, and then your favorite BBD, and then your favorite Bobby Brown, and then
Poison,
we're trying to get.
Poison.
Hello, bro.
Oh, excuse me. No,
you know,
I didn't say that.
And coincidentally, we have your daughter on the line. Hey, girl. You know, she's going to kill you. All right, so we know your BBD song was Poison. Let me tell you what mine was. Well, I can't say it's my favorite, but I like this song, Something in Your Eyes.
Oh.
The slow
song.
Wow.
Okay. What about your favorite Bobby Brown?
Oh, it has to be the Always – club banger that I get any party started is Don't Be Cruel. Yeah, the first three bars of that will get everybody on the dance floor, and I don't care if you play it today or you played it 5-10 years ago. Don't Be Cruel is a banging cut.
If I hear it on the radio,
it almost makes me want to pull over.
It's a banging cut. It is. That's what we laughed because we said we love. We went to see Bobby Brown. We went to see New Edition. You know, I took my girls back to see Bobby Brown, New Edition. It was a New Edition Albie Shore tour.
Albie Shore. Oh, no. Oh, no. Keith Sweat wasn't there? No, I'm just joking.
No, Keith Sweat wasn't on that tour. It was New Edition Albie Shore. Great show. And then we went to see Bobby Brown by himself when he was soloing. We went to see it wasn't the Prerogative tour, but it was, you know, when all that was out.
Oh, you know what? I was going to say that I'd never seen them perform, but actually I did. It was in Houston at the Summit at the Bud Fest. I don't know how long ago they used that Bud Fest. But, okay, now I'm about to date myself. But, oh, by the way, if you get a chance to see this on VH1, Unsung, Kumo D.
Oh, you might want to check out Unsung. Is it good?
His is actually pretty interesting.
Because I've watched some of them, and some of them are so painful. You know, I dropped off with Phyllis Hyman. I couldn't.
That was sad, yeah. But
and I watched the Temptations. That one was pretty sad, too.
Yeah, Kumo D, you got to check out. Well, in all of them are kind of sad because they go through something. But Kumo D is pretty much the only artist who was kind of from the original school of creating rap that actually made it in the commercial world as well. He's pretty much
only
one that actually made some money. So,
really?
Kumo D's.
You mean from back in that era?
Right. And I'm saying out of, you know, the Grandmaster Caz, you know,
LL
Grandmaster Blast kind of stuff. Melly Mel, huh?
LL Cool Day.
No. LL came out of after Run DMC and those guys. and Run DMC came kind of after Curtis Blow kind of thing. But Kumo D and the Treacherous Three and all those, when there was nothing to base rap on, Kumo D is pretty much the first person that started rapping really fast.
Daddy Kane didn't make a dime?
No. He came after. I'm saying the people who originated, like, rap, like, from, you know, the Busy Bee and all of them, Everybody Had the Fever, you know, all of that stuff.
Okay.
Like, in the early, late 70s, early 80s, the first person that came out of that actually stayed relevant for longer was Kumo D. And Kumo D was not to be played with, and that was the thing. In his Unsung, they had there was a show that Run DMC was on with Kumo D and another guy from the Treacherous Three, L.A. Sunshine. So they said Kumo D said that the only time he kind of compromised and held back is the day that Jam Master Jay said, "Do not battle them." Like, Kumo D would have ate Run DMC up, you know. Yeah, off of the top of his head, Kumo D is phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
And it was a cool Unsung. So if you want some history of rap, anybody, go check out Unsung VH1. But on the Budfest in Houston at the Summit, it was Kumo D, New Edition. I can't remember who opened, but I know Hammer closed. Oh, and Hammer was banging back then. You know what?
He was banging then.
Anybody can make fun of Hammer if they want to, but that whole arena was rocking to Hammer at that time.
He was hot. He was awesome.
Let's get it started. You're lucky I don't have any on here because I wouldn't play
Don't touch
Hammer,
this. Can't touch this. He was awesome.
About the
he was awesome.
Up. Hammer put it down back in the days. I mean,
he did.
He had about 40 people on stage sweating.
4,000 people.
And you know what's funny about that? When I heard some stories behind the scenes, nobody wanted to go on after Hammer because the crowd was just tired. Like, they would come out
exhausted.
And the crowd couldn't get no crowd participation. You know,
he'd worn them out. But he put the show, he put a show together. He was great. He was great in his day.
Oh, yeah. Hammer put it down. Huh?
We loved him.
Oh, yeah. But that's all I'm saying is, like, Hammer was this show. So, if you get a chance to check out Unsung, you have to check out the Kumo D on Unsung.
I definitely will. And I've passed it by a couple of times because they did Young Kumo D and they did Houdini. And I didn't watch it.
Oh, you know, I didn't see Houdini. So of them are bad. I did watch the Phyllis Hyman. But I did,
and I watched
like
the Mini Ripperton, so they were back-to-back, and that was just, whoa.
That was, I did watch, like, Midnight Star, but didn't watch Shalimar. But anyway, I'm trying to think who, there was somebody else on there who was actually pretty good, but I didn't see Houdini, so... I'm going to have to go back and check the archives. I'm sure there'll be some TV1 marathon that you'll get a chance to watch, though. I know.
All right, then you're doing checking out?
Well,
Until next week?
We're now checking out. Hey, we're going to see you again next week. Thanks, Ronnie, for hanging out. I knew I was going to have to track you down. She wasn't even checking for me. That was just wrong. I'm telling Kathleen. So you can check us back again next week, 8 o'clock, Ask Kathleen on this network. You can catch us on BTR. You can check me out on S3 Radio every Thursday on this network, or you can go to s3radio.soulofsyracuse.com. And I just want to remind you, as we go, in the words of our 44th president, the forces that divide us are not as strong as the forces that unite us. And don't compare me to Almighty. Compare me to the alternative. Thank you. Tune in again next week. Thanks, Ronnie. We'll check
you
out.
Night. Next week.
Next week.
Have a great week.
Yep. You too.